For what?
The county.
I'd like to call this meeting of the membership committee to order. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Lemon, Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congressman Potts.
Present. I did receive communication from Congresswoman Lemon that she's unable to attend today for personal reasons. Moving on to the next item, we have prayer. Congresswoman Whitemore, please lead us in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for your care and your watch over us. Lord, we just ask that you be with us during this meeting. Please forgive our shortcomings and our and help us along because we're just humans, Lord. I just ask that you be with our OSH people, wherever they might reside today. Be with those that are in mourning and have needs and those that are having sickness and in sorrow, Lord. I just ask you to be with our elders and help our young children. Lord, I just pray for our nation. I just ask that you give the leaders of our nation the ability to have good minds to reason and to cooperate and get along, as I do for the people of the nation and the leaders of the nation. I just ask that you be with us again during this meeting and all these things I ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. We will gloss over approval of amendments for the time being. Hopefully have a brief discussion. We'd also like to thank Ms. Oberly for joining us today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Two items for discussion today. We're not going to be taking any action, so nothing to worry about. The biggest discussion is discussion of membership role certification. Both of these items are topics of discussion from Congresswoman Edwards, so I will turn the floor over to you.
Right, thank you. So we've discussed in the past whether we should have some vehicle that documents who is added and who is deleted from the rolls in a specific time frame. So in other tribes, I've seen where the council has a resolution and it just says, acknowledges the following members were added to the membership roll from the period, you know, it was either a quarterly or it was a semi-annual list. And then there was also a deletion of the roll quarterly and semi-annually. So I remember asking you if we had something official like that, and I think you told me no, we're just adding them to the rolls, and then you're sending the new roll over here monthly, isn't that right?
Right, correct. I mean, there's nothing saying we can't do it. It would be fairly easy.
Right, and so I thought that that was a pretty simple idea, and then it got, as they all do, the what ifs. Well, what if the council or the Congress doesn't want to approve certain people? And it never had occurred to me that once someone had been through the process and their membership would approve, that we would be doing anything other than just recording it for posterity. So it would seem to me that if a law was written like that, or the membership bill was amended to indicate that that was happening, that it would have to be, I guess, included that the idea is not that you get to go rehash who got added or deleted from the rolls. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you're just keeping
track.
Right.
Because according to the Constitution, you all can't take someone off. Chief's office can't take anyone off or put anyone on because they have to be a lineal descendant. So I think that would be a moot point because I'm just informing you all, these are the new members in this amount of time. These are the ones that have relinquished membership. I mean, I don't see a problem personally. Professionally, I don't see a problem.
So that's the concept, is that we track through our legislative process who's coming on and who's coming off.
Now, would that be, do you want to stop the monthly? Because to be honest, I don't think anyone ever looks at them anyway. The disc that we send over every member, every relinquishment, every death that we send every month.
Congresswoman Watson.
I like summary reports as a legislator. I like to know current membership, new members. I think that would even be best broken down by births, your new membership by birth, or you're joining the tribe at a different stage of life. I think that would be good.
So you would like to have the ages on there too, then, like, and we could start, you know, total membership. Okay, this is a membership from such and such a date to such and such a date, and list them. I can tell you right now the majority will be newborns, mm-hmm. but we can put, you know, the ages, that way mm-hmm. you can see, oh.
Just by birth, because I think that's okay. a really good,
by to birthday.
Me it's a good, no, just if you're going to be a new member and their parents are going to enroll them at birth as a young child, that's a good thing. That helps us be able to see our birth rate as a nation. But I like summary reports. I still think that you do need to send us the disc, even though we probably don't look at it. I think that constitutionally we're supposed to have a list of the membership. But I think a summary report of our membership, of what's happened, do we want it quarterly? Do we want it monthly? How do you want it?
Well, I want it so that we have a resolution that says we adopt the list of, or we acknowledge, maybe the word would be acknowledge, the following members added to the roll and deleted from the roll for the period January 1st to June 30th, and then July 1st, December 31st. And what we could do is have their ages, because it would be interesting to see who's relinquishing too. Are they dying, or are people changing? And I will say that when you probate an estate, it does require that you give the age. You don't have to give the birth date, but the age of the person. So you could have the age, mm-hmm. just name, and I don't even know, what do you have on the roll? Do you have their address, or do you have their, how is it shown?
I think it has their name, their membership number, their address, the state, the zip.
So, I think that people would look at a summary report, you know,
and
send it to the clerk. I don't know, I think she needs to be quarterly, but I don't know about these resolutions that she's talking about.
Well, they read, like I just said, they would read the Osage Nation, be it resolved that the Osage Nation Congress acknowledges the following additions and deletions to the membership roll for the period this and this. Boom, boom. It could be just name, membership number, age. Name, membership number, age. And you just go, shh. And that way, if you said, when was so-and-so, has my father, because he died, ever been deleted from the rolls? Nobody could tell when that might have happened. Well, you probably could, but over here, as the official keeper of the, we couldn't do that without going back and asking them. But if we kept that, we would be able to say, okay, these people all were added this time, these people were deleted this time. It would just be an official record.
Okay, so it would be, I'm sorry, like the name, membership, age, those that have voluntarily relinquished, and those that have died. Mm-hmm. We're going to do like three different. Okay.
And the other reason it would be important is because I believe I understand, do I not understand the law, that once you, and I don't know if that's in the law or in a policy, I think it's in the law, that if you relinquish once, then the second time you relinquish, you're done. You cannot re-enroll.
Right. You get two chances.
With an exception of somebody that's
got a guardian or something like that.
Yes, you all made that exception. And the other one is if they're a minor and their parents relinquish them. When they turn 18, their slate's clean. In other words, they'll get another two chances if they want to do that.
On their own.
Right, right. But we don't count it against them if they're minors and their parents relinquish them. That doesn't count against them when they turn an adult. Then they still have the two chances that they're able to relinquish once, come back on, they relinquish again, that's it. And we're the only tribe that lets them come back. The others, they are hardcore, you relinquish, that's it.
Or your parents did it for you and that's it.
I think they might have a provision for children minors, but they're pretty tough on that.
So why does our law allow for two times?
It was done before I got here, so I'm not real sure.
Was it always written that way, or was that amended?
What?
The relinquishment to be able, if you relinquish once, then you get to come back one more time?
It was amended. It was not original.
So the relinquishment was just a one-time thing, now we've got it to be a two-time thing? Is that correct?
It's my understanding. You can go back and look and see how the law got amended. But it got amended.
Personally, I would like it to be once. It's very hard keeping track. And, you know, then they come in. The one you know that I didn't sign that. Here's your signature, here's your notary. Well, I wouldn't memorize mine then because, you know, and it's just, you get to do it one more time, and then the same thing happens, and it happened again. And it's just, it can be, I don't know. I mean, I follow what the law says, and it says they're allowed twice, we allow them twice. I'm not saying I like it. I mean, it's just, it can be a little.
I'm for changing it.
On the discussion of a membership poll certification, though, I would be more in favor of an annual resolution. I don't think that that's something that we need to update twice a year. How many changes, I guess my question to you is, off the top of your head, how many changes would that see over twice a year versus once a year?
I mean, you could do it biannually, you could do it annually, quarterly. I don't know that they're going to change that much. Of course, we could have that one summer when we had so many Osage deaths. I mean, it would seem to be every time you turned around, there was, you know. So it kind of, I can't tell you, you know, there's not even an average because I don't run those reports like that. But I could, and however often you want them, you tell me and I can.
I thought it made sense because we have a membership committee now, and the membership committee can meet during each of the regular sessions, and it would be just something that you would remember. In the fall, we're going to do our additions and deletions. In the spring, we're going to do our additions and deletions. So, yeah. You know, you can track it according to, you could do it from May 1st to September 1st, and I don't know, however you want to do it. But to me, when I saw that, I thought, I think we're being remiss in not having an official record of who's on a roll.
Well, the roll is the official record. Sorry.
But we don't know when they're added. We don't know when they're taken off. We don't know that unless we go and ask them. And I don't like being in a position where there's only one person that knows something in the nation. If you did it this way, you would have an open record, an official record of what happened, because that's the official action of Congress. So if Congress is in charge of keeping the official roll, and we're not having any part in approving or disapproving or acknowledging the official roll, then I don't think we're doing our job.
To me, it's a snapshot. You don't do the disc every month. And you're not gonna know who's been added anyway, because it's gonna go just boom, 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 down to 21,505. I see what you're saying, and yes, I get it. This way, twice a year, look how many we added this year, look how many we lost. So I understand it's something you see. Oh, we had 250 members this year, or this 6 months.
I would tend to want to do it in spring once a year, and it is a data point. I get it. We're having a point in time that we had this many new members this role and this many people leave the nation voluntarily and this many deaths that we know of, that are known.
Well, it also would be good to track in terms of, when we had all those deaths that summer, I mean, we don't really know that in terms of being able to look and see. But if you've also got this big influx of people, you know, we're trying to plan for burial assistance, et cetera. We could certainly better track what's happening if we monitor that. Because maybe we lose 400 people, but only 50 of them are due to death. I don't know if that ever happens, but I guess if some other tribe had a per cap or something, that might. And that's an issue from, well, yeah, that's why people jump roll. I mean, why do you jump roll?
I would be more apt to do it once a year. I think that's enough of a collection point. And I'd be supportive of a law that would require us to do that.
Okay.
I think that that's wise. I think it gives us some responsibility in tracking membership of the nation, but I don't think that two data points is going to be much more significant than one data point. So when you're tracking something that large, I think annually.
So it'll be January to December and then approved in April or March. Okay, that's fine.
Is it really? Did you have something to say?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay,
sorry. I was.
Also, I think the language needs to be that we, constitutionally, we don't get to say who's on that role. The Constitution dictates it, but we acknowledge an acknowledgement of the membership.
Acknowledge the names, age, role number, and ages of the persons who are added and deleted from the role, as well as whether that deletion was due to death or relinquishment of membership, something like that. Okay. That's what I'm going to work on. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Moving on to discussion of CDIB.
That's me too. I saw I saw an email that was discussing the potential relinquishment, deletion, annihilation, what word do we want to use, of the CDIB function by the BIA.
The letter that we got, that we received, was they were considering turning it over and letting the tribes do it. So everybody was getting, they ended up having a meeting in Muskogee, which I went and attended. Well, apparently, they're not just wanting to turn over the tribes, they're wanting to get out of it, pretty much. They're just wanting to get out of the CDIB business, which, okay. As I said before, we already do everything. All the BIA does is sign off on our cards. That's it. We get their signature. We do all the work. We do the tracking. We do the lineal descendancy. We do the fractionation. We do it all. We just send it over there. We do all the work with all of our research, applications, birth certificates, all of that. And they sign off on it. Now, what I found was interesting at this meeting, and they sent out, somebody had asked them questions, and so they handed out the questions the other tribes had asked. And the number one question, the first question was, how will the BIA recognize tribally issued CDIB cards? And they said, this question is somewhat confusing because most tribes already issue their own CDIBs, and the BIA views them as such, tribal CDIBs. If the intent of the question is simply to know if the BIA will recognize tribally issued cards, then the answer is yes. However, there would be a caveat that without any applicable federal regulations or statutes, the BIA has neither the authority to scrutinize tribally issued cards nor the parameters against which to test them if a situation arises and the BIA is presented with examples of flagrant fraud. They want out. They want to turn it over. If you guys want to do it, you issue what would be Osage Nation tribal certificate, CDIB card. It would be a tribally issued versus it would not be a federal card.
Well, so we take the position, no, we don't want you to discontinue doing that. They could decide that anyway.
Sure.
So what we look for is our official position and then our plan B in the event that they say, that's fine, we don't really care what you think, we're going to do it anyway.
And, you know, what made me think, when is the last time you've even used your CDIB card? I couldn't remember the last time I've used a card. And the only Indian Health Service is the only one that I know that accept it. I said, and I asked them that, I said, if you do away entirely with CDIBs, will, you know, all IHS facilities take membership cards? And they don't want to go that far yet.
Of course not.
So we keep getting, it's kind of a wall. Every time you'd ask them, well, we're not saying we're going to do that. We're just discussing it. So
I can see it making a difference for those tribes where blood quantum comes in.
Yes.
Because then those tribal people that aren't eligible for membership are still eligible to use services, but they need a CDIB to get to use it.
And that was another question. It says, how will the BIA continue to provide services to Indians who are not citizens of a tribe? And it says, a policy determination has not been made as to whether or not the BIA has an obligation to provide CDIB services to non-tribal Indians. However, this does not affect a tribe's right to issue CDIBs to descendants of tribal members or other non-tribal Indians. So in other words, if you don't make the blood quantum and they quit issuing CDIB cards, you're SOL. We don't have that problem in this tribe because we don't have the blood quantum. So we're okay if they choose to do away with them or, you know, which I think, just listening to what everyone, I think that's where they're going, is to, and leave it up to tribes. Apparently a lot of them are issuing their own tribal issued CDIBs. I think that's just my opinion though, after some of the things I've read. And I think that's where they're gonna go.
So was that a listening session they were having? What were they?
No, they offered questions, and the five civilized, which I think was the only ones that were supposed to initially invited, then they started inviting maybe some other tribes in the eastern region. So the five civilized all got together, and they're the ones that came up with these questions to ask. So, but you know, they allowed us to ask questions, but hard pressed to get a concrete answer because it was like, oh, we're not there yet. We're just, you know, we're just throwing this out there. What they want to know is, do members of our tribe use a CDIB? Honestly, no. You know,
unless
they really don't.
Unless you've lost your membership card.
Everything is membership.
Unless you've lost your membership card and you're out of state or something and you want to go to another clinic.
The only time I get requests for CDIBs is out of state and they want to use the Indian Health. The Indian Health Service will fax me, can you send their CDIB?
And exactly.
Those I'll do. But if they choose to do away with it, they're going to have to start accepting tribal cards.
They don't have to do anything.
Well, that's true. That is true.
So it's my understanding, and it's been a while since I've read the letter that was sent out, we were asked to comment mm-hmm. on what our nation thought about it. Have we officially commented?
Yes, and there was a timeline on that, and I went ahead, if you want me to go through my survey real quick, it's very short.
Was this survey sent to you?
It was sent to Robin. She sent it to the chief and Candy, one of them sent it to me because it needed to be filled out by the
membership.
So Robin and I could never agree to meet, so we just did over the phone. I gave her my answer, she commented on them, and that's how it was. Just name of your tribe, does this tribe maintain its own blood degree information for certification? I said yes. Does the BIA process applications for and issue CDIBs for people seeking enrollment into this tribe? No, we do that. Does the BIA issue a final sign-off on the CDIBs after the tribe has processed the applications and certified the information? Yes. Does BIA process CDIBs for enrolled members of this tribe? No.
Does what?
Does BIA process CDIBs for enrolled members of this tribe? No, they do not process them. We do. They sign off on them. Does this tribe process applications for and issue CDIBs to descendants of the tribe who are not enrolled or eligible to be enrolled? Yes. If they're members of another tribe, we still issue their CDIB. And then how do individuals in this tribe use CDIBs? I put Indian Health Service because it used to be scholarships, but now scholarships have all gone to membership. They want membership numbers.
Even the BIA scholarship?
Mm-hmm.
Does not accept a CDIB card?
The 4432s in Indian Health Service is the only time that I have to look up a CDIB.
Say that again?
For 4432s, which is application for employment at the BIA.
Okay.
But so I have to do all that work for them and then have Brock sign.
So we do need those for people that are doing that. And also for, what did you say?
IHS.
Okay. Those are two huge things to me. I mean, if we have tribal members that are traveling in Arizona and...
Or living in Arizona.
And get sick and need to go, mm-hmm. I don't know that they're going to take a tribally issued membership
well,
card.
Well, you know, if they're traveling, yes, I see that. But, you know, as it is now.
Because I have been before. I've been in Santa Fe. I got sick. I needed to go to their IHS health facility.
Yeah.
And I whipped out my CDIB and they ran.
And if you don't have it with you, if you're traveling, you don't have it with you, they fax me. I get it to them as quickly as possible.
I just don't see any reason why we would abdicate another function of the BIA and say, okay, we're letting you off the hook. We officially say, okay, even though they're not doing much at all, they have a trust responsibility, and I don't think we should abdicate any.
I don't think we can stop them, to be honest with you.
That's fine. But when they ask us to comment, they ask us to comment, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we need to comment and say we don't agree. If that's what
they ask here, one of the questions that they also ask was, will there be a formal tribal consultation prior to decision making? No. Consultation sessions are currently scheduled. However, central office has not made a final determination as to whether or not consultation is necessary. They were doing us a big favor for even having that 2-hour meeting to let us ask questions. I'm just telling you,
I appreciate.
And I want to step in here. I appreciate, because you did contact members of the membership committee, so I appreciate you taking that step. And we did provide feedback to you on an individual level as members of the committee. But this is the first meeting we've had to discuss this as a meeting or as a membership committee. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Now, if they go and say if you want a CDIB, you issue your own tribal CDIBs, I don't have a problem with that. I will not need additional staff. I will not need anything because I have to do it for membership anyway, because it's the same, lineal descendancy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be a hardship if we start issuing tribal. And the only, what people forget is our constituents will get them a heck of a lot quicker than they're getting them now.
But they don't have federal recognition.
No.
And that's the whole thing. That's, I think that as a tribal nation, we ought to go down kicking and screaming. This is one step back from their fiduciary responsibility that they have to the tribe. And if we abdicate that and say, okay, we'll take that on, they're not held in a position of trust responsibilities there. To an individual. They are to the Osage Nation. And you have to stop and think about how our Constitution is written. We have Osage people, Osage blood, that are heavily involved in our minerals estate, that vote in tribal elections because of their degree of Osage Indian blood there. Well, and that they are shareholders also. So I'm not.
I checked with Ubi in probate.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No what?
She doesn't need a CDIB if they're deceased and they have a will or whatever. She's like, no, I have to have a birth certificate just showing that you are your father's daughter. She said, that's all I need. So I said, you don't take a CDIB? Well, if they got them, yeah, I'll take it. But it's not a requirement. And that surprised me. I thought it was a requirement.
Whose records are they originally? Those are originally the federal government's
records. It's the
federal
government's record.
That's sort of why I want to keep them on the hook, at least. I mean, maybe that's not the right word. But, I mean, they're their records. And then they're certifying their records. We're having to operate off of their records.
We've compacted. Those are my records now, the Osage Nation's
records. The 1906 roll is a federal role.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't decide to put ourselves on a roll. They did. And that's where our membership all funnels back to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Well, I guess my question
is sovereignty too, but I'm not going to get into all that because, to be honest, I don't care.
Okay.
Either we continue it the way we do it, or they have us issue it, which is not going to be a big deal because we do all the work anyway.
So what Doesn't was matter. The actual request made of the nation in terms of comment? What did it actually say?
It said, "Dear tribal leader, this correspondence is to inform you that the Bureau of Indian Affairs is considering whether to end the practice of BIA personnel issuing certificates of a degree of Indian or Alaska Native blood, CDIB. To gather this information, a survey is being created. Your input and advice is appreciated in this survey. The BIA has issued CDIBs to individual Indians for several decades. We seek data to determine whether we should continue issuing CDIBs. Unfortunately, the absence of regulatory guidance has resulted in the inconsistent issuance of CDIB cards by the BIA. Prior to making any final decision on this issue, the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs is seeking information to any potential impact that termination of the BIA CDIB program would have on tribes. To this end, the BIA regional and agency personnel will be conducting a survey that addresses CDIB-related matters for each tribe that is served within each region, and we seek your input and consultation on this effort. With the next several weeks, local BIA personnel will be reaching out to your tribal enrollment program points of contact to gather CDIB information. Please note that the survey does not request any type of personally identifiable information. Further, nothing in this process will affect tribes' ability to run their own CDIB programs. We are simply seeking information on whether the BIA should continue to issue CDIBs or if this activity should be best left to the tribes themselves, as a tribe's right to determine its own membership and degree of Indian blood is recognized as a central aspect of tribal sovereignty."
So first they said they wanted our advice, and then it kind of devolved into fill out this form.
Exactly.
But yeah. I'm wondering if maybe in the spring we ought not to think about doing a resolution, which would then answer the Dear Tribal Leader response, which would then get a vote of Congress, and you'd get the chief to sign off one way or another on what our official position is. So that's what I think we should do, is articulate a position in a resolution, get the input of Congress, and vote on it in March. If it's approved, then the chief can sign it one way or another, and that will be the response, that would be the advice of the tribal leaders to the inquiry.
He sent me this, and he said, "You need to get a hold of your membership committee." And I said, "They may not want to tackle this because it's not membership. This is CDIB." But he said, "No, they need to be on board because it's going to affect your whole office if this should happen." So that's when I reached out, because I was like, oh, never really wasn't thinking about that. So he wanted just to make sure that everybody is, and I said, I've spoken with Eli, and I have spoken with Brandy, and I said, pretty much, if we do our own, okay. If we don't, if we leave it the way it is, pretty much the same thing I had told him. I said, from a processing standpoint, it will not make any difference.
No.
Whether we issue it or the CDIB signs off, I mean, the BIA signs off on it. It really doesn't matter. So.
Can you undertake, I can volunteer, but maybe there's somebody else on the committee that wants to undertake drafting the resolution.
I can have a conversation with the chief and see if a resolution is necessary to state our opinion.
And how do you believe that the Congress states its opinion if it doesn't do it through a resolution or a bill?
I don't disagree that a resolution would be the proper format, but I'm not sure that a resolution is needed. Congressman Lauren.
Well, I think a resolution is needed. Because I think that's the only way to formally state our opinion, but I don't know how the membership committee feels. do we want to just step away and not let the, and not have CEIBs that are federally recognized? Because no. They couldn't get their regulations and policy together?
No, I was anticipating that it would say we would request that the, or we believe that the federal government should continue to honor its trust responsibility to the Osage Nation and issue CDIB cards. Matter of fact, they should give us money when we're doing their response, when we're doing what they're supposed to be doing for us.
I believe it's part of our
system. I used to be 100% federally funded by the BIA to run that office.
I believe that you're part of the 638 contract.
Yes.
And so you just aren't being dispersed. Your funds quite possibly could be going somewhere else instead of to you. So we have contracted that from the federal government. We do receive 638 funds for membership.
So we should continue to receive.
And we should continue to receive 638 funds for that purpose.
Because when they say we're no longer doing it, then you watch. The funding will go away too.
It will. That was asked in that meeting. I think the Creeks. They said, okay, well, if you all quit doing it, the tribes do it. Well, pretty much tribes will have to pay for it themselves now. Mm-hmm. Because you will be taking that over. They'll no longer be.
So. Right, right.
But then, you know, I did ask Candy, but she said that I wouldn't lose my funding. But I don't know how that count, you know, I don't know how that 638 works.
Well, yeah. So. 638 funds are agreed to by the MIFA. I don't know what your portion is on the MIFA, but we can redistribute those funds any way we want to. That
Susan, we just by the curiosity
of the nation who gets to make that decision can distribute the MIFA how they see fit.
Money? Mm-hmm. Who gets to decide about money?
Back to the discussion of CDIB. If the chief feels that a resolution of Congress is necessary, I'd be more than happy to draft it.
I'm happy to draft it. I don't need the chief to tell me whether I need to draft it or not.
I understand.
That's all I have.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
We are adjourned.
Thank you, Missy, for coming down. It's very important.
Thank you very much.
You're a very important person to our membership undertaking. You are the person.
You are the.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, I know there's more than one person, but I'm forever going to suggest.